Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
All right, kids are dismissed. Somebody say praise the Lord. It's always a privilege and an honor to share the Word of God with His people. Amen. And even with people that are not His people. Amen. I'm just excited to know God. We live in a crazy world. Sometimes you get to see it firsthand. Yesterday I was driving Uber, and I was in Fremont, and I don't know if you guys know what was going on in Fremont yesterday, but it was not of the Lord. I ended up turning, and this lady was like, yeah, go this way. This is the fastest way to get to my job. And they had these bike riders all, that's right, naked. So I'm just like, good Lord. And we're stopped, so I'm looking at my phone because I'm not trying to see the people. But everybody's like, hey, look, you can see. Oh, wow. And I'm just like, man, what is this world coming to? You know, and I mean, the crazy thing is kids were on the next blocks, you know, and I'll be like, what are you teaching these children? You know, but that's why we need to share the Word of God with people. Amen. Because the Bible talks about we must have our mind renewed. That means we're going to think totally different than what the world does. Amen. I'm going to give you guys just an update. We were on a mini tour on Friday and Saturday. It was called the Ignite Series Concert. And this weekend, we had 6 people give their life to the Lord. We had 5 kids, 1 adult. And what it was is a concert, but we ended up getting into worship, you know, praying. Yesterday, the people were like, man, this turned into a worship concert because we just end up singing worship to the Lord. And it was just powerful to see and be able to encourage different people. Like I said, there was about 3 kids, 2 youth, and 1 adult that gave their life to the Lord. And we just are expecting God to continue to move in their life. The series, once again, was called Ignite. And our job is to ignite a fire, and not only just ignite it, but continue to fuel that fire so that more and more people will know who God is. Amen. So that's why I was not here yesterday, but I was still doing the work of God. It felt like I was still in church. Amen. But today I was actually trying to figure out what God wanted me to speak on, because sometimes when you get ready to preach, you got to be like, God, okay, give me that clear word, because I don't want to get up and say something that I just feel like it sounds good. Amen. And as I was at this event, worship kept coming. So I said, okay, God, I'm hearing what you're saying. And he said, I've been in a series which was called Connect with God. And this today, somebody say, connect with God via worship. Now, anybody know what via means? Through. That's the way that you connect with God. Amen. Let me give the real definition of via or via, however you want to say it. It's traveling through a place en route to a destination, or by way of, or by means of. All right? So when we say we're going to travel to God through worship, this is very important, because some people think they just can know God, but they don't have. See, a lot of people can have knowledge of God, but if they don't know how to worship God, I don't know if they're really connecting to God. Amen. Because you can have a lot of head knowledge about God, but until you begin to worship, and let me break that down. Worship is the feeling or expression of reverence and adoration for a deity. That's what it says in there. But we say for God. All right. And then it says to reverence, to glorify, to adore, to exalt. Then it also says show reverence and adoration for or honor with religious rites. And then it says to revere, to adore, to praise, to pray to glorify, to exalt. So when you think about the word worship, that includes everything that we must do towards God. When we think about praying, that is a part of our worship. Now, I know now in the church we've got so used to praise and worship, and sometimes we think worship is just a song, but I always say this, that it's a lifestyle. It's the way that you glorify God when you are at your job and they're acting up, right? It's the way that, just like I said yesterday, the way I had to turn my head because I didn't want to see what everybody else does, and I'm pretty sure the people saw me. They know, man, there's something different about him. Why? Because I honor God, and I don't want to dishonor God by doing the wrong things. Amen? See, some people, they say, how come you can't do what so-and-so does? How come you're not like them? Well, guess what? If I'm worshiping God, I got to be different. If I'm worshiping God, it changes my mindset, and it says, God, I don't want to just please me. God, I just want to please you. So my life has to be a life of worship. Amen? Point to your neighbor and say, it's a life of worship. All right. We're getting warmed up. I'm not going to be up here long. I don't believe in long sermons. But we're going to go to John chapter 4. And we're going to see somebody that knew about God, right? But Jesus had to break down what it meant to really know God and to worship God. Amen? It's the Samaritan woman. The subtitle says, a Samaritan woman meets her Messiah. It says, therefore, you guys got it. Just say amen if you got it. All right. I'll wait. It is up here as well. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. Okay, Jesus is going via Samaria to somewhere, right? But he always has a plan when he's going somewhere. It wasn't just a detour because a road was blocked, right? Jesus knew he had to go this way. It says, so he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot in the ground that Jacob gave to his son, Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. All right, so this hour is not normally an hour that most people come, right? And that shows just, this lady, and I've heard people talk about this before, this lady did not come at a normal time because maybe she didn't fit in with everybody else. Or maybe she was the talk of the town, right? Sometimes some people have to go different times to different places because they don't want to see different people, right? Because they're going to stir up trouble. And sometimes it's a good time. That's a good thing, right? Sometimes if you go to the store sometimes at midnight, it's a lot easier to get through, right? You go in rush hour, it's like, oh, man, you get in, the lines is long, people are there, you might see somebody, and then just going to get something that should take 5 minutes takes 35 minutes, right? But she goes early. And it says, a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink, for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. All right, now Jesus is already breaking the mold of their tradition. One thing he did was he talked to a Samaritan. That was outlawed, right? Or they thought it wasn't holy. Okay, next, he's talking to a woman, right? Now, my dad was talking about this a couple of weeks ago. In the Jewish culture, they didn't really speak to women. Not only that, they wouldn't be alone with women, okay? But Jesus is doing something, and what is he doing? Obviously, Jesus is the epitome of worship, right? So what he is doing is he is breaking man-made traditions, right? And sometimes, I'll just say this, this is a side note, sometimes we get caught up in, oh, I'm going to go minister to somebody that looks like that, but you don't want to talk or associate with that person because that person looks like somebody you shouldn't associate with. Or, oh, man, if I talk to them, somebody else is going to have something to say. But if you are on a mission from God, it doesn't matter what they look like. It doesn't matter their lifestyle. What matters is that you share the word of God. Amen. And I'm going to tell you this. They, most of the time, the one that you think is the one you should not go to is the one that you need to go to. Amen. Why? Because they are in desperate need of the gospel. Amen. I don't know if you've ever seen somebody that was desperate for something. But the worst thing is to be desperate for something and you don't know what it is. Right? If somebody's thirsty, but they never understood what water is and they just, I don't know what to do. And you got a cup of water just chilling. Right? That's what happens sometimes when you don't share the gospel. And, you know, some of us would be like, okay, praise God. But we got to take that to heart. Man, like, just to be honest, man, if I go somewhere and the Spirit of God tells me to share the gospel and I don't, I feel bad. I'd be like, man, oh, dang, God, I should have just opened my mouth. And I'm going to tell you this, a lot of times that fear that you get, like, first of all, what is going to happen? Well, at least in the United States right now, right? We talked about our brother Fred that's going to Indonesia where he could be killed for sharing the gospel. But we don't have those consequences out here right now. So we need to take advantage because I tell you this, if we don't take advantage now, when that does come, guess what? Right, oh, well, I share the gospel. That might be my life. But see, when you're invested into this thing, when you learn that worship is going to require you to even sacrifice, because part of worship is sacrifice. The number one thing that you sacrifice in worship is yourself. Amen? So we must sacrifice so that we can be in the place that God wants us to be. And sometimes it's not going to look like what everybody else wants it to look like. But we're going to go where God wants us to go. So let's go back to verse what? 9. Then the woman said, of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would given you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Let me read that scripture again. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. All right. Then a woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Now, he just sparked her curiosity. Right. See, when you have hope, when you have joy, when you have love that is only found in God, sometimes all you have to say is, man, it's just something. And guess what? They say, man, how can I get that? How can I get that? I always have an Uber story for people because I get to talk to so many different people. But one day I ran into my neighbor and she was drunk, right? Getting ready to go get high, and they telling us everything, right? And one thing she said was, Marquise, I see you all the time. Like, why are you always so happy? And I was like, what? Like, I'm not always upset, thank God, right? But every morning I see her, I'm like, hey, how you doing? We're going to beat you today. You know, we just get to see who gets out of the parking lot first or, you know, have a great day. But then I was like, man, God has allowed her to see that in me. And why? Because she wants that. And I simply told her, I said, that's the joy of the Lord. When I wake up, I'm grateful to have a new day. I'm alive. I'm well. Like, why shouldn't I be like this? You know, and it might have went over her head, right? But she still sees me. I pray for all my neighbors. I get their name, and I pray that God would utilize me to share the gospel with them. But even if it's these little things that help them understand, man, there's something that he has that I want. And that's what Jesus did. Oh, you just out there getting normal water. Let me show you this living water that will never run dry, right? That will always satisfy you, because that's really what the issue is. She was not satisfied with who she was at this moment. And a lot of people are not satisfied with who they are. Thus, they try to go satisfy themselves with all these delicacies. Oh, my goodness. I'm messing that word up right now. With all these different things in life. Right? Yeah. All these different things. They try to satisfy themselves. Thus, we have bike rides like I saw yesterday. Right? And the crazy thing is, these people are screaming and yelling like they won something. And they didn't win nothing. Right? But for them, they're trying to satisfy themselves in any way possible. Right? And when you're with the crowd, you might feel good for a minute. But when you go back home, see, that's the thing. She might have been cool if she was with a crowd. And I'll tell you this. If she was with the crowd, Jesus might not have been there. Because Jesus had a personal experience, and that's something we always got to get to. It's a personal experience that you must have with God, all right? Now, the great thing about your personal experience, when you connect with somebody else that has a personal experience with God, it's just like we've been talking about. It's that it ignites them, and you start getting feedback from them, and they get feedback from you, and now you're excited because, man, something happened to Pastor Willie, and I know that's our God, and we're going to champion and lift God up because he's doing that in his life. That's the whole focus of the body of Christ. He has a personal relationship. She has a personal relationship. Let us come together personally, and then not only personally, but together let us worship our God. But it doesn't work. That's why some churches you go to, there's like 10 people and half of them got a personal relationship with God. The other half doesn't. And they bickering and they're fighting. Right? Because they're not glorifying God because they don't have a personal relationship with God. Now church has just become something that you do on Sundays just to do it. But your worship shouldn't just be something you just go do. It should be something that fuels you. Amen. Verse 11 says, Then the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? And then she asked another question. Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? And that's an interesting question. Why even ask a question like that? Right? But her curiosity was sparked. She wants to know about this living water. She's trying to figure out how he can get it. And then she wants to know, are you that great? That's a question that a lot of people have. Is God really that great? You know, and back in the day, we used to say he's all right, right? I don't know if I like that, because he's more than all right. Because when you get something and you eat something at the store and you be like, it's all right, that ain't good. Right? Somebody made me some macaroni and cheese. Hey, was it good? It was all right. Right? But when you taste God, he's better than all right. And I'm not going to remix the song. I'm just saying it. We gotta sometimes watch what we say, because what we say becomes the culture. Now, if Jesus is all right, people are looking for something that's better. But Jesus should be the greatest. Just like she said, are you that great? And he's going to answer, yes, I am. It said, Jesus answered and said, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. All right? The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Now it's funny because she's still thinking about this other water. Right? And it's funny because some people that are still, they're trying to give God their life. And even some people that have given their life to God, they're so focused on the temporary that they miss what God has for them. All right. And how do you know that? Their testimony is always about something that God is doing just for them at that moment. Right. And there's nothing wrong with testifying. But you want to always be in the moment to or in the understanding that God is doing more than what I can see. Right. And it shouldn't always be something that I got as far as something monetarily or something physical. Maybe it's something that God gave you a revelation of his word. Maybe God is teaching you what the eternal value of your salvation looks like. Amen. And as you continue to grow in worship, what begins to happen is you say, "God, even if I don't get a new car, my car is messed up, God, even if it's messed up and I don't have a way, I just got to walk, God, I still will praise you." Right? Amen. Some of us, amen. When you get to that point where it doesn't matter what I have, God is still to be glorified, that's when you understand that you have living water. Because that living water is not tied to this thing here on this earth. The living water will never run out. But see, what begins to happen is we get saved. We give God our life. He's given us that living water, and we desire a different drink. We want Gatorade instead of his living water, right? And what is Gatorade? That's the things of this world. And it talks about, there's a parable that Jesus talks about where seeds were planted, and there were still good seeds. Let me just say that. It was the real word of God that was planted. But because some people got caught up in the cares of this life, they didn't get the right water to plant that seed, to keep that seed going. Guess what happened? It was lost. So we have to say, "God, let your living water touch my heart so that word that was spoken to me will continue to grow. Let your living water continue to flow in me, that I might not thirst for these things of this world." Amen. I believe that she got this water. But see, this is the powerful thing is when you get that living water, you can't hold it to yourself. Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, in that you spoke truly." Now, Jesus is starting to deal with some personal. All right. Why does Jesus bring this up? Right. She already said she wants the water. But let me tell you this, you can't have the living water if you got other things in you. Her cup was filled with other things that Jesus had to show her, right? To show her that this is what you want and not that. I mean, and this is very subtle. It's barely in the scriptures. We just see a few scriptures. And then she says, now she's starting to see his greatness because she asked earlier, "Okay, wait, hold up. Dang. This is why when we minister to people, we must let the Holy Spirit speak to us, because there's going to be times when the Spirit of God will tell you something about somebody and it's going to go over their head and they're going to be like, "How did you know that?" And you don't tell them, "Well, I'm just a great guy." No, you tell them the Spirit of God has told me that. I remember we were downtown when I first started doing music ministry. We actually would go downtown and sell CDs on the blocks downtown. Tell the police, we're like, "Hey, you can't do that." And we're like, "Okay." He's doing it, but that's all right. We leaving. But as we were there one day, a lady came And this day we actually had suits on because we were trying an experiment because we wanted to see if people would talk to us differently if we dressed different. So we were down there in suits. And a lady came and she was just interested in the music and she starts talking. But as she's talking, the Spirit of God started telling me things to tell her. And she starts breaking down crying because she's like, how do you know? And then I'm telling her the things that even her parents had told her at when she was a kid that had distorted her life. And this lady was older than me, which is not that old. I'm just saying she was up there. OK. But these seeds that were planted in her life needed to be uprooted so God could transform her life. Now, right in front of the Westlake Mall, she gave her life to the Lord. And we gave her number to, I think we gave it to Chase, so she could talk with her and make sure she's doing well. And you know, she was going through a whole bunch of different things. But the thing that really was able to transform her was the Spirit of God speaking a word that needed to be changed in her life. And that's what Jesus did here. He pointed something out, and now she says in verse 19, the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. All right, now prophets in that time were honored high. Matter of fact, that might have been the highest that they could go at that moment. Now, they were waiting for a Messiah, but I don't know if the Samaritans were waiting for a Messiah, right? So she's like, man, hold up. Is he greater than Jacob? Yeah, he's greater now. He's greater. Then it says, our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Now, what is she doing? What is that? What do we call that? Tradition. Now she got a question about, am I doing the right thing? Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. And that's powerful for some people that think that Jerusalem is the only place that you need to go worship. Okay? Or your church, right? There's a time coming where you're not even going to be able to worship where you thought that's the place that you need to worship. It says, you worship what you do not know. Right? What does that look like? That's when people sing songs and they don't know what they're talking about, or it doesn't really hit them. Right? You come to church and you have a form of godliness, but deny the power. Right? But Jesus says, you worship what you do not know. We know what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews. Right? But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Now, when you look at where do they worship in spirit. It used to be in Jerusalem. It used to be on the mountains. But when you worship in spirit, that's everywhere. Right? It doesn't stop. In spirit and in truth, or in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, now this is another moment where Jesus says that he is the Messiah. I who speak to you am he. All right. Now, it's important that we see this. And I'm not even going to stop there. I'm going to read all the way through verse 38 and then we'll be pretty much done. Let me keep on going. And it says, and at this point, the disciples. All right. And let's just put it in layman's terms. The church people came and they saw what he was doing. And they marveled and said, what? He's talked with a woman. Right? Now, this is Jesus. Now, I don't know how long the disciples have been with him at this point. But why are they questioning Jesus? Right? It's so funny. Like, all the people that had questions for Jesus usually answers them, and he answers them very boldly. Why? Because they have a tradition. And all tradition is not bad. I just want to say that. Some of the things that you cannot throw away, even in tradition, is I remember growing up, we had the elderly ladies always in the church praying. You guys remember that? Saturday morning, you come to church, it just seemed like, and I don't know why it was like this, Dad, but it seemed like all the ladies would be there, especially the elderly ladies, but it is like, where are these men at? I don't know why it was like that. But one thing that I realized is that they realized that they needed to be connected with God. And sometimes men are trying to do it in their own strength and own power. And that's the problem with men. Sometimes. Happy Father's Day, men. Right? We have to make sure that we are not trying to do this in our own strength and realize that we have a need for God the Father in our life. Amen. So at this point, they question him, what do you seek and why are you talking with her? That's what they say. The woman left. The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city and said to the men, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Now, she is not fully convinced yet because she's asking, could this be the Christ? All right. Now, I'm not going to build a doctrine off of that, but I believe sometimes when people get connected with God, they might have repented, they might have accepted God. How many know that they still need proof that God is God? That's why it's not just a prayer that gets you in, it's a relationship with God. You get to know who God is, right? Not just sit there and say, oh, I met God one time and now I can do whatever I want. No, you have to be in a continued relationship with God. How many of us have friends that we thought would be best friends our whole life and now we don't even talk to them? Thought they were going to be best friends. Now, if I ask you, are you best friends now? What is your answer? No, I got a new friend, right? But it's the same thing with God. If you're not cultivating that relationship, if he's not your best friend, there's a problem. And that's something that we all have to look at. God, instead of spending time with you, I'm doing a whole bunch of things. But today, God, I want to go spend time with you. I want to sit here and be in your presence. Why? Because I want to get to know you more. That's worship. That's when you worship God. Amen. Says, come see a man. She said, could this be the Christ? And then they went out of the city and came to him. Verse 31. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. I like this because they really, the whole reason why the disciples were gone, they were supposed to get Jesus some food. Okay? We don't see that until we get here. Says, therefore, the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Man, he must have ate good. What did Jesus eat? Jesus said, this is when you are a worshiper. This is what happens. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. My food, see, I'm full now because I'm doing the will of God. I don't know how many of you guys can do different things. And like when you're excited about something that you're doing, you don't even have to eat. Right? You could just do it all day and eat. Oh, snap, I haven't even ate yet. But do something you hate. When is lunchtime? Right? You at the job like, good God, when is lunchtime? Why is the clock going so slow? Because you don't really love what you're doing. But when you love God, it should fuel you to the point where you don't even need food. You should be satisfied because Jesus is still, he's dealing with a hunger and a thirst right here. In this same chapter, he dealt with the drink, living water, right? That's going to spring up into everlasting life in you that will never run dry. Then he deals with the food. And I don't know if this just happened because he was hungry that day. And the disciples were supposed to get him food. But he said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. It says, do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the field, for they are already white for the harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. Now, Jesus, he goes on, and I mean, he just started with the food, but now he's teaching them that that food is going to store up for you in heaven. Amen. That food is going to store up into eternal life. Those are the fruits of eternal life when you do the work of God. Amen. The Bible says we should know them by their fruits. And it's not just because Jesus likes apples and oranges and different things like that. But he, if you go back to the Word of God, see, the Word of God is consistent. Some people think, oh, it's not consistent. But when you read the Word of God and you have an understanding of the Word of God, it is consistent from the Old Testament all the way through Revelation. Amen. But he said, my food is to do the will of God. That's worship. The thing that connects me to God is to do his will, but is also to be satisfied, fully satisfied with him. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear God, for this day. God, I pray, dear God, that you would just allow us all to be satisfied in you. Dear God, remove anything that keeps trying to satisfy us outside of you, oh God, in our life, oh God. I pray, dear God, that you would allow us to hunger and thirst after righteousness and be filled as your word says. Dear God, and I pray to God that our worship will be evident. Dear God, when people begin to see us, they see our stance for you, oh God. They see, dear God, that we respect, honor, and lift you up higher than any and everything in our life. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, let the church say, amen. If that was impactful to you, go ahead and slip your hand up. Why do I do that? I do that so that you know that you heard something and now it's accountability, right? Accountability. You heard something that it's impacted you. Now start using this. And this is not a, I don't want you to feel like it's a thing to demean you or anything like that, because there's a lot of stuff that I said that I have to continue to put in my life as well. Amen. And I just thank God, because I come up with barely any notes and God be saying a whole bunch of stuff. Amen. But it's really, man, I just want to encourage you to know that God wants you to connect with him through worship. Amen. Quick announcements. Do we got anything coming up special? Huh? House of Oaks Church will be here with us on Sunday, this coming up Sunday, which is the fourth Sunday. They have actually joined with us every fourth Sunday. And that's a blessing, because you don't really see too many churches that do that kind of stuff. Because a lot of churches are focused on agendas, right? But we're just blessed for Pastor Daryl and Sister Deborah. And Pat, I think she's pastor too, right? I don't know. Sometimes you got pastors and sisters. So I just thank God for them coming. We're excited for that. And let us always be inclusive of all the people that come, because they are our brothers and sisters. Amen. Amen. I know sometimes we get caught up with the New Creation Christian Center, brothers and sisters. Let us be about all the body. Amen. Also, we always have a podcast. If you missed the sermon, we have the podcast up, and you can always check them out. Yes, Sunday, August 7th is the next New Creation Christian Center Cares events. And that's where we're going to continue to bring groceries and bless some random family in this area. Amen. And I don't like to say random, but a family that the Lord leads us to. Amen. All right. Once again, we just want to say thank you, brother, for coming. Amen. Let's give him another hand for being here. And my mom has a Father's Day, the special gifts that she wants to give to them, and she might have words for them. What do you say?
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.